Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell them, this is not my home. Tell them, I'm just passing through, but faith's going to take me home. Praise God. You may be seated in the house of God tonight. We're not going to go through most of what we've been through these last few weeks because I want to conclude this series tonight. But faith is a process, church. There's a lot of faith in this room, but there are such different and varying levels of faith. And it doesn't have to do with how long you've known Jesus. Because I know people that have been walking with Jesus for 2 years that have more faith than people that have been walking with Jesus for 20 years. So it's not an age thing. It's not how long you've been at Living Way. None of those things come into play. What it comes down to is in the process of life and in the process of faith, are you using faith every single day? We don't just use faith when we need something. We don't just use faith when we want something. We should be living faith every day. Remember in Genesis chapter 12, God did not give Abraham direction. He gave him instruction. Because before God can show you the directions to, you must be willing to step out of your from. And I don't know where your from is. I don't know all of your background, but I do know this. What is ahead of you is greater than what is behind you. And what God is calling you into is greater than what God called you out of. Can we just think for the next 15 seconds and give God a praise for everything he brought us out of? Every addiction, every religious spirit, every demonic spirit, everything that we used to be, he called us out of that to take us in to the promised land. Praise God. God has called us from, and there's three things that he commanded us to leave. There's three goes. He said, go from your country. Go from your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you. Of course, the country is the comfortable place, the comfort zone. Your faith will never grow as long as you are comfortable. Because when you are comfortable, you are leaning on your own power and our own understanding. But when we step out onto nothing, now we're leaning into what Jesus has done and what Jesus has said. Every day, you need to do something that your flesh hates that brings glory to God. Every day of your life, believer, you need to step out where God has not promised, where God has not shown you, but God has promised you. Every day of your life, you must make a faith step. He said, I want you to go away from your people. Remember, your people are not always his people. When God calls you, he calls you. He does not call them. God doesn't promote us in groups. He promotes us as individuals by faith-filled people. And finally, God has called you to be an eagle. And it takes faith to be an eagle. Quit plucking with the chickens. Quit running with the turkeys. God has called you to soar higher than the eagles. I was blessed this past week to be able to fly home on a private jet. I was blessed with that invitation. And when I was on the private jet, I was talking to the pilot. And I said, are those storms on the radar? And he said, yeah, you can see them way off in the distance. I said, are we going to go around him? He said, no, to go around him, we'd waste a lot of time. He said, we're going over them. Can I encourage you today, if you are going to be a person of faith, God has not called you to go around them. God has called you to go over them. As an eagle, you don't have to mess with the things that everybody else messes with. Why? Because faith is always going to take you a little bit higher, and faith is always going to take you a little bit further. Let me say that again, church. Faith is always going to take you a little bit higher, and faith is always going to take you a little bit further. If you don't feel like you can, in your flesh you can, but I'm here to tell you, in faith you've got what it takes to press through or to go just a little bit higher than the storms of life. And the third, jumping into the new material, is he said, I need you to leave and go from your father's house. For those of you who don't know Abraham's father, he was a man that was named Terah. Terah was the one who made idols. Not only did he make idols, he sold idols, but he also worshiped idols. There's something to be said that God said, if you're going to be a person of faith, I need you to get rid of every idolic thing that is in your life that would steal my presence, that would steal your focus, because you cannot be in a house of idols and have faith or expect your faith to grow. That's why it's important on a Wednesday night for you to leave your job to make sure your kids had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on the way to church. But you said, I'm going to church today. Why? Because I believe tonight when I get around faith-filled people, all the idle things in my life, all the things that would rob me of my focus on God, he said, I'm going to get around worship people. I'm going to get around faith people. I'm going to get around praising people. And I'm going to make sure, God, that my faith is growing in this moment. Said, I need you out of the house of idols. You will never have faith in your heart, church, as long as you hold an idol in your hand. You'll never have faith in your heart as long as you have an idol in your hand. Jesus said it like this in Luke 9, verse 62. He said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looks back, is fit for the kingdom of God. What your hands are doing and what your eyes are focused on determine whether you are fit for the kingdom. That's not what Brandon said. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, I need your focus ahead. I need your hand on the plow. And he said, when your hands are right and your focus is right, your faith will be right, and your faith is what makes you fit. What's in your hand, what your hand does, shows what's in your heart. So many times we hear the word idol and we automatically go to the Old Testament and we think of golden images. We think of images made of bronze. We think of the golden images that King Nebuchadnezzar set up that we should bow down to and worship and pray to. And an idol in its purest definition is just that. However, an idol in 2023 is anything that takes priority over Jesus Christ and his will for your life. Anything that takes your focus off of Jesus and captures the attention that should be given to Jesus, anything that robs us of our focus, that can become an idol. Let me illustrate it. This can become an idol. When you start working second and third shift, and you're not spending time with your family, and you're not spending time with God, and you're not coming to the house of God, and you're saying, well, if I can just get this amount of money, if I can just get this, if I could just get this job. But can I tell you, if God were to take you from making $60,000 a year to $160,000 a year, nothing would change, because you'd get a better car, you'd get a better apartment, you'd get nicer clothes, and you'd still be striving for more. Don't let this become an idol. Don't chase after this. The Bible says, if you seek me first, if your focus is on me and the righteousness of my kingdom, he said, this will find you. You don't have to chase this. This can become an idol. Let's see, Netflix. You say, oh, no, don't go there, Pastor. We binge watch 2, 3, 4 shows a night. That's 2.5 hours. How much time did you spend with God today? Our world would not be in the shape it's in if we would binge on God. If we would say, God, I need another word. God, I want 30 more minutes of your presence. God, I'm going to cancel those plans to stay home with you. God, I need you to speak. God, I need you to move. God, I'm feeling something right now that's connecting me like never before. And so, God, I want another episode. I want another word. I want you. TV, movies, entertainment can become the idol because it robs us of our focus on Christ, but it robs us of his presence, and we are no longer striving to be with him. We are striving to be like them or to be with them, and it can happen in something like this. I brought a picture of my wonderful wife. Do you know your spouse can become an idol? Where you worship them and not him. You spend time with them. You are infatuated with them. You are concerned with them. I've seen people, I've got my kids sit on the front row. I've seen people that their children have become idols. You won't drive 10 minutes to go to church, but you'll drive 10 hours to watch little Bobby lose a baseball game in Oklahoma. You'll complain about all the church wants is my money. And let me tell you something, you just gave Little League $2,500 for the year. I'm here to tell you as a pastor, we don't want just your money. We want your money, your marriage, your children, your future. We want the talent you have. We want all of you. We don't want your money. Your money is very small, very way down on the list. We want a committed you that loves Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, we love your kids, and I know you love your kids, but can we as parents quit living vicariously through our kids? And because we didn't make it on the basketball court, we think they are. Remember this, 0.002% of children in America are going to make it to the NBA, but 100% of children will stand before God. And I don't want to stand before God saying, hey, you built another idol. You built something for them to look at, something for them to worship. Sunday was another tournament day and at a time in God's presence. Father, when was the last time that you looked at your son and said, hey, go grab your Bible and let's have a Devo? But we're quick to say, hey, go grab your gym bag. Let's go to the rec center. Mom, when was the last time that you told your daughter, instead of, hey, let's go get our nails done, hey, let's spend some time talking about life and talking about faith and talking about how God's word can change your situation? Talking about getting our focus back. Our focus is out of whack. And see, we think by aligning our focus for 90 minutes on a Sunday is going to fix the other 166 hours in the week. We think that 80 minutes on a Wednesday is going to, I'm here to tell you, I love that you're focused on God on a Wednesday night. I love that you are in the room tonight. I love that we worshiped, we praised, we gave, and now we're hearing the word of God. I love that, but can I encourage you, church does not stop tonight at 8:30. We just changed location. Your relationship with God is not contingent on Living Way or a praise team or a pastor. It's none of that. It's, are you focused on God? Your phone can become an idol. We hold it. There is literally now science that says when your phone hits below 10%, that the chemical makeup of your brain changes. When we forget our phones at the house, anybody ever been there? Let me tell you something. I've come all the way to church, forgot my phone, got right back in my truck, and went all the way back to Seguin. Now, I'm going to preach to myself and not to you. Would I have done the same if I left my Bible at home? I'm talking to me now. That was a good place for you to say amen. What we make as our focus is what we are going to put our faith in. Idol worship, I-D-O-L worship, is idol worship, I-D-L-E worship. It takes the same amount of worship when you offer it to God. It just doesn't do anything. Can I remind you, everybody worships. They just don't worship Jesus. Everybody gives, they just don't give. Everybody tithes, they don't just tithe to God. Everyone serves, they're just not serving for God. Everyone volunteers, they're just not volunteering for kingdom. Everybody praises, they're just not praising the one and true living God. Everybody has Devo and shows devotion, it's just not to Jehovah God. I am here to tell us all here today, we've got to get our praise focused, we've got to get our worship focused, we've got to get our serving focused, we've got to give our giving focused. It's amazing to me how many times that we worship an idol without even realizing we are worshiping an idol. And God said, Abraham, if I'm going to get you where I need you to be, if I'm going to get you to a place of promise, if I'm going to get you to a place of covenant, I cannot do it in that country around those people, but I surely can't do it in a place where you're surrounded by idols that are trying to steal your focus and steal your attention. An idol is anything that takes priority over God. An idol takes your focus from Jesus and places it on other people or things. If you remember anything, if you don't remember anything else I say, I want you to write this next phrase down. What I am focused on, I am faithful to. What I am focused on, I am faithful to. So here's the million-dollar question, or perhaps the billion-dollar question. What are you focused on in August of 2023? Are you focused on life? Are you focused on the enemy? Are you focused on the giants? Are you focused on the bad report? Are you focused on what the news says? Are you focused on the next election cycle? Are you focused on everything that is bad? Are you saying, I'm focused on the God that is calling me from the place of comfort? I'm focused on the God who is calling me out of this group of them. I'm focused on the God who is calling me out of the place that I'm stuck in idolatry, and I'm following you. What I am focused on, I am faithful to. David never had an adultery problem until he changed his focus. And what he was focused on, he became faithful to. If you don't like where you're going, change your focus. If you don't like what's happening in your life, change your focus. You say, what do I need to change it to? You need to change it to the God of the universe, but you need to change it to where you are taking responsibility for your own faith. And as much as I know this is going to hurt, your faith is not your pastor's job. Your faith is not your mama's job. Your faith is no one else's job but yourself. And we've got to do a better job of staying focused between Sundays and between services. Remember, what you're focused on, you will be faithful to. What you're focused on, you will worship. What you're focused on, you will give your time to, your energy to, your money to. So the question is, what are you focused on? Which means daily focus, church, becomes so important. That I'm daily focused, not on the outcome, but I'm daily focused on the progress and the process of faith that I'm living today. I cannot worry about September. What I'm concerned about is building my faith on August 16, 2023, so that when I show up tomorrow, I'm the man I'm supposed to be. And when I get to September, if I've done my daily focus and kept it, I'll be exactly where God wants me to be. Verse 2. This is what God said. God said three goes. Get away from your country. Get away from your people. Get away from your father's house. That is a command. He didn't say if you feel like it. He didn't say if it looks good. He said this is the command. How many of you know every time God gives a command, what's the next thing he gives? A promise. Every time God tells you to do something, there's a promise tied to it. So the command is go. Go, all three of these are a must. You can't do one and leave the other two undone. He said the moment you get out of your country, the moment you get away from your people, and the moment you get out of your father's house, this is what I'm going to do. Verse 2, he said, I will make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Genesis 12:1, he says, go from your. The command is go. Check this out, church. This is what God says. When you go, this is what I will do. You're about to read two verses that share so much of now what God is going to do. But before we get there, I need to encourage you. You are not blessed at your arrival. You are blessed when you go. The blessing is not tied to your destination. The blessing is tied for when you step out of your comfort zone, out from your people, and out from the place of idols. Because you can't arrive until you leave. God says, we say, God, bless me there. God says, how about this? How about you take a step, and I not only bless you there, but I'm going to bless you on your way to there. Can I encourage somebody today? See, the enemy has tried to lie to you and tell you it's not worth it. You're going to have to make some sacrifice. Oh, it is going to be a sacrifice to leave them. It is going to hurt to leave your comfort place. It is going to be tough to step out of the world of idolatry. But God said, I'm not going to wait for 5 years to bless you. The moment your foot leaves leaves from where you are at. He said there is a blessing that goes into effect. Healing is not just going to happen 6 months from now, but you're getting healthy in this moment. You're going to get healthy every day. God is going to do it incrementally, and then it's going to look like it happens all at once. It's not in your destination. It's in your going. See, that should encourage you today, because there's a lot of us that we've got a long ways to go to get there. And God says, I don't need you to get there to bless you. I just need you to have faith to leave, to step one step, and the blessing of God goes into effect. This is what he says. I will make you into a great nation. He said, I will make you into a great nation. You know what I love about the next two verses? I got 2 minutes to close this out. I love the next two verses. There's not a lot of what we do, because our part, if we do it right, is already done. We left our comfort. We left our people. We left idolatry. And now we are on the path of faith to a covenant and a promise with God. He says, now that you have done the command, let's talk about the promise. He said, I will make you a great nation. God says, don't worry about what you are or what you are not, because I will make you what I've called you to be. I will make you what I destined you to be. I will make you what I promised you to be. Some of us are trying to do it on our own, and God is saying, it's not going to happen on your own. I just need you to be a person of faith, like Abraham. I need you to step out on a Wednesday night and say, God, I don't know what direction you're taking me. God, I know the end promise. I just don't know how to get there. And God is saying, if you will put one foot in front of the other, I will make thee a great nation. Meaning this, there are nations, there are big things inside of us. But God, I am only one person. God knows I know exactly who you are, but better than that, I know exactly what I put in you. And the moment you step out, what is in you starts coming out of you. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless you. I will bless you. I want the blessing of God on my life. But so many times we look at the blessing as stuff. But when God really blesses you, it's a 360-degree blessing. It's a blessing that not only puts something in your hand, it changes your heart. It's not only taking you a physical place, but it's healing mental things. See, that house of idolatry got a lot of us messed up and got a lot of us leaning into things that don't work. Some of us were raised with parents who burned sage, looked at horoscopes. Someone corrected me. They said, you keep saying horoscope. It's a horoscope. I said, no, it's a horoscope. Called 900 numbers. All of the black magic and all of the craziness of life. We've leaned into things that don't work. God says, no, when I bless you, it's not just to give you a greater life. It's to give you a greater you. And Abram, you are stuck being just like your dad. But if you'll step out, I'll make you. I'll bless you. I'll make you new. I love this next one. He says, I will make your name great. I will make your name synonymous with greatness. Let me ask you a question, church. What do people think about when they hear your name? When they think of you, what comes into their mind? While I was going over these notes again this week, my mind went to some of our newer Living Way family that your life has totally changed. Your addictions have been broken. All of the mess of your life and the past you walked out of, you literally left your comfort zone. You left the people you used to run around with. You left the house of religion or no religion or no Jesus. Rex, I think when your boys think about you now, they think a whole different thought than they would have 10 years ago. Why? Because he stepped out in faith. Now greatness, Jesus, God, is synonymous with Rexy. For the first 40 years of my life, every conference I went to, every church service I went to, when they would hear my last name, Fender, they would say, is your dad Steve Fender? Or is your mom Becky Fender? And then they would say something like this, man, your dad's a great faith preacher. Your mom's a great worshiper. That was the first 40 years. Now I'm starting the second 40 years. I was at the conference in El Paso all last week, and when people were meeting me, it was a young adult conference. Are you Jaden's dad? Is Tyler your son? And they talk about music and worship and all of these things. What are you synonymous for? See, in the old way, when you were stuck back at dad's house, you were synonymous with drug addiction. You were synonymous with brokenness. You were synonymous with depression. You were synonymous as the one to open up and close the bar. But when you said yes to Jesus and you became a faith-filled person, now you are known for never giving up, never throwing in the towel. Oh, man, they're a worshiper. Oh, when they pray, something happens. When they show up, God shows up. Oh, the anointing they carry, it's different. Hey, don't use that language. Said Tammy's showing up. Hey, don't say that. Rexy's showing. We're known for something different. Stand on your feet. I want to be synonymous with the power of God. When he shows up, all of heaven shows up. I want to be known as a man of faith. I want my name to be associated with a name that is above every name. I want to be known as the holy roller. That's all right. The Jesus freak. That's all right. Preacher man. That's all right. Reverend. That's all right. As long as you associate my name with him, you have made my name great. Said, I will make you a blessing. Got three more of these. He said, I will make you a blessing. The first thing he said, I'll bless you. But now he said, I'll make you a blessing. One of the greatest things you can say about somebody is, you're such a blessing. That's different than me saying, thank you for the blessing. You're such a blessing. You in this moment, think about that. You showing up to the hospital room, the blessing has come in. You showing up at school, young person, the blessing showed up. You being on that job and on that team, the blessing is here. He said, I will make you a blessing. If I'm a blessing, that means that blessing comes from me. If God calls me a blessing and blessing comes from me or through me, what does that mean that God has to do too? God has to bless me for me to be a blessing, which means anything that I give them, God has to give me first. Anything I do for them, God does in me first. Three more, real quick. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. I will bless those who bless you. Those that are a blessing in your life, God said, I'm going to bless them. Church, do you know what happens when you get the reputation that every time someone blesses you, God blesses them? It takes your blessing to a new level. Because every time they put something in your hand, God puts something in their hand. Every time they speak something into your life, God speaks something into their life. I will curse those who curse you. I wish I had 5 minutes just right here. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Quit trying to fight his battles. Quit trying to be God. Quit trying to enable and do revenge on somebody. Because you cannot be who God has called you to be if you're always looking over your shoulder trying to pay them back for whatever they did to you. Remember, God said when a thief is found out, he's going to bring you sevenfold. Don't worry about what they did to you. That's God's issue. You just keep moving forward. And the final thing he says, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I will cause a blessing to flow through you. None of what we've just, he can't bless us. He can't make our name synonymous with greatness. There's no blessing of those who bless us, curse of those who curse us. There's none of that can happen outside of your faith in Christ and stepping away from the norm. The term that has been in my spirit for the last 3 weeks is radical generosity. Radical generosity. I'm going to share this. I don't have permission to share names, so I'm not going to share names. For those of you who know, we do camps every year. We do VBS every year. It costs thousands of dollars. Some of you were shocked to find out that camp cost almost $100,000. You say, well, people register for it. Oh, yeah, they register for it. But if we charge what people... what we needed, it'd be $600 a young person. We had a family in this church come to us the week before camp, and they said, whatever the shortfall is, we got it. I've been going to camp since 1993, y'all. That's never happened. It was thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars. And you know what they said to me after they gave it? If you find out that you need any more, let us know. Radical generosity. I shared it last Sunday. I'm in El Paso sitting with my friend, and he said, there's a man in our church that just wrote a check for $25 million, not to the church. The pastor was excited. He said, he's doing it to start a cancer hospital in El Paso, Texas. Since he gave his $25 million, almost $200 million has been given by other multimillionaires and billionaires, all because of radical generosity. I'm not talking about a pastor. I'm not talking about a missionary. I'm talking about someone like you sitting in a chair in a church that says, God, if you want me to do something great, I will be your vessel. Bless people through me. Flow through me. If you need someone to pray, I'll pray. If you need somebody to serve, I'll serve. Radical generosity. I need some Abrahams to step out of their seats today, tonight. I need some Abrahams to leave their comfort zone. I need some Abrahams to leave the people that you've been running around with that, if I could just say it like this, have been retarding your progress and slowing you down. That Snickers commercial, you're not you when you're hungry. You're not who God has called you to be when you're with them. That's why he's called you out of them.